Do the family a favor and remind Mother to get a can or two of Spam when she shops tomorrow. This delicious meat, packed in a handy can, is grand to eat. Easy to serve, cold or hot. Tomorrow, ask for Spam.
Listen to this. It says,
The Salt Genius Hour of Swatch.
Wait a minute, I don't get it. What does that mean?
It means that what is?
That's all?
That's right.
That's all I wanted to know. The whole thing sounds rather dull.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe I'm getting a little tired of this conversation. Suppose you get out of here. Goodbye.
Oh.
All right.
Hello.
What's with this phone call?
Just wanted to tell you that... I wasn't thinking of leaving yet.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, boss. Anything you say.
Now, let's see. Where were we?
You know, in a great many businesses and trades, a man's or a woman's hands are exposed either to weather or to such things as paint, grit, nicks, Vaseline, chemicals, and a baby. Chapped sore skin.
But I reckon I won't have to worry about that now this machinery has arrived.
Ah, yes. Thanks to the Lemur's machine, we can proceed with the, well, the entombment of the Exist broadcast that was intercepted by Frater Sodi, or Frater S-O-D-D-I.
Hello.
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 Hello, my savior, J.R. Bardos. You're the slickest salesman in town. From the Burg of Cleveland to Malaysia, the conspiracy will surely be knocked down. Praise J.R. Bardos.
This is Cobbled Reverend Up and Maynard Brainerd from the Department of Transmutation.
You're listening to the Hour of Slack.
Scientology is just too bob-damned expensive.
Bob. How about the conspiracy? How about the conspiracy?
This is the last show I'm putting together before I leave for 9X Day, my friends. Therefore, this may be, for all we know, the last recording that the Church of the Subgenius leaves behind for the doomed world. Rather than rerun recordings of past X-Day drills that you have now missed forever, I've elected to read some selections from the new Subgenius book. Chances are the book will never actually make it to the bookstores, because after X-Day there probably won't be any more bookstores, not on this planet anyway. And so, friends, we'll start with middle of chapter 5 here of the Subgenius Cyclopedia of Slack, the Bibliographon. Little chapter here about the conspiracy. And now it's decades later and everything has deteriorated on schedule. We know the enemy far better than we did before, and here's how you recognize him. It's anybody who says that you must be part of their clique, or their clique, or their church, or their country, or their species, or their planet, in order to have Slack. Anybody, that is, except us, for we alone bear the knowledge of the ultimate secret, the true truth. No matter our age, gender, education, weight, gullibility, or number of sex organs or personalities, our very deepest subconscious memories are shared in common. And what they collectively tell us isn't pretty. In fact, it's enough to make you want to turn your stomach inside out again. We pay the conspiracy to take our money away. That's what it's all about. That's their job. It's what the conspiracy is. It's not so much that they rule over us. It's that we live, breathe, and eat the conspiracy. It's what we live in. The conspiracy is the fishbowl and the water we swim in. They don't consciously take our slack away. They trample slack without ever knowing of its existence. But this will, in fact, lead to their downfall, my friends. For even the unthinking 10,000-year war on slack must grind to a halt when, thanks to their slack ignorance, the world economy finally caves in on itself. The free world is grossly overpriced. There's really only one airline left, but that's okay with them because they own it. There's really only one publisher left, but that's okay because they own it. Only one TV network left, only one internet provider, only one actual political party, but that's all okay because they own it. Everything is under control. Right. The craziest 1890 steam engineer, train engineer in the world is at the helm of our spaceship Earth, my friends. Our entire planetary vehicle is careening out of control with a drunken madman at the wheel. A bunch of drunken madmen fighting over the wheel, and none of them are Bob. What then is to be our destination? The moon? The future? No, friends, I'm afraid it's Hooterville. Our future under the conspiracy is a bad sitcom that never ends. Already, most cities are like something out of a science fiction movie, an old science fiction movie. The further north you go in any city, the more it becomes like A Clockwork Orange. On the south side, it's more like Blade Runner, and out in the sticks, Road Warrior. The mass media news, that's not even like science fiction anymore, but tacky surrealism. We're being adjusted to accept the idea that at any moment, anything can happen, including the unimaginable and the impossible, but mostly the unlikely. And once they've gotten you to believe one impossible thing, you can get yourself to believe damn near any impossible thing, such as that it's all for your own good. Are you prepared to be really paranoid? A little pre-paranoia never hurt anybody. But don't worry about being called a kook. We used to call the John Birchers kooks, them and all those other rabidly right-wing anti-communists, when they were hollering that the Trilateral Commission and the Council on Foreign Relations would take over the world. But by gobs, they were right! The kooks were right! Totalitarian commies did take over the world, disguised as right-wing industrialists, disguised as Christians. We called the Christians kooks for worrying about the mark of the beast that the Antichrist would make everybody wear on their hand and their forehead. Well, guess what, mocker? There is a mark of the beast on your hand and on your forehead. The one on your hand is your thumbprint. And thanks to face recognition software, the one on your head is your face. You don't need a barcode tattooed on your forehead. Your face is the mark of the beast. They've been scientifically perfecting their various contraditions for centuries. We're like some landowner's domesticated dogs, so well-trained that when one bargain basement bin Laden drizzles stale pee on the shriveled little bush in our front yard, we all instinctively start howling and slobbering and peeing all over every bit of foliage for miles around, while our owners laugh at us. Using television, they taught us a whole new language whereby war in the Middle East really means two-for-one sale at Walmart. Even the tiniest, most seemingly insignificant details are set up to make less sense. Ever notice that everything in a store costs, say, $19.95 or $19.89 instead of just a straight-up $20? When they say only 69 cents, we both know that they've really just taken our perfectly good 70 cents and wrecked it. Bob prophesied, it's gonna be a bummer, man. Prophecy fulfilled. And so we're now told about a new mutant disease every month. If we're lucky, maybe one of them will cure hypochondria. Jesus said you will hear of SARS and rumors of SARS. What nanobots lurk in the government's smallpox shots, my friend? How much will we have to pay later to have them removed? Already the conspiracy has government pee inspectors analyzing your urine every time you flush, tracking you via your toilet so that, for instance, you can be sued retroactively for lying to the insurance company about your drug or vitamin use. The next step, of course, will be identity theft via urinary traces of your DNA and psychic stench. Every time you flush an unapproved chemical, whether you peed it or not, you might as well be signing away your children to the slave camps of tomorrow. It's all become so dirty. The inevitable fad of reality TV finally came full circle with the ongoing Oil War miniseries, but it's all so sterile. One almost misses chilling with the Cold War, which was somehow cooler. But as long as they can make you worry about how you smell, whether your poop stinks, if you're wearing the right deodorant, whether or not your stomach will get you through the day, the endless conveyor belt of cheap crap will distract you from real slack. Oh, sometimes they want you to fight them because it's an impossible battle that you can't win, leaving you exhausted and defenseless and in need of more cheap crap. Oh, yes, it's all very paranoying. It started with breathalyzer tests. Then they moved up to pee-alyzers, then vote-alyzers, and now they've even got a machine that can tell if you're thinking. It's called a TV. If it's off, you're guilty. It's said that less than 100 people control all the big corporations, armies, governments, and the mass media in the world, and that none of them are into Bob. Actually, it's less than 10 people, and they all do know Bob. But you have never heard any of their names. If you know his name, he's not one of the puppeteers, just one of the puppets. You never see the puppeteers. You can't follow the strings up that far. If you could, it'd be easy to cut them. But nowadays, there are puppets that can work other puppets. And it's puppet working puppet as far up the line as you can see. Even the puppets don't know where they are in the hierarchy. Only the ones who aren't operating a marionette themselves know exactly where they are. The bottom. And you, dear subgenius reader, are probably not engaged in pulling anybody's strings right this minute. It's economic Darwinism, survival of the richest. The decks are manufactured, already stacked for the winners, the guys who put the evil in evolution. Talk about not wanting to make waves, they've finally got things just the way they want them. The times, they were a-changin', but that may end. Now that the rich are firmly rich and the poor are securely poor, the conspiracy as a whole would benefit if all change were to stop. And we must not let this stopping begin. We must spend our time getting slack, because time itself may be running out. Oil shortage, water shortage, air shortage, those are nothing compared to what the conspiracy would like to see. A you shortage. Because it's gradual, people don't even notice the world ending. When that day finally comes on which everything locks up and freezes in place, Those who have fallen into line as they were told will shuffle through the slaughterhouse door from apathy into oblivion. Even if you survive, you'll find yourself worse than dead. In a world composed of vacant, glad-handing geeks and vicious motorheads, and liking it. But for now, the high officers of the Fatherland Homestead Security Corporation have decreed that you are at the center of a conspiracy of slack. Are they right, friends?
I've been a communist for the FBI for quite a while, but I'm always uneasy about these FBI goons. I've been me for quite a while. I feel a chill colder than the bluish November talk.
Sleepers in the party are supposed to sleep when the sleeper wakes.
How? I can't talk over the phone.
What did you say your name was?
Matthews.
What is it?
I said it was Matthews.
Just what do you mean by that?
I mean Matthews.
Does that mean Matthews?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps?
Perhaps.
Why?
Get lost. But first, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Think about it.
The boy. Well, no, please. It'll be fun. This time I'll be looking in.
But you came.
Well, sure.
No.
Mrs. American Housewife, are you fat? Because need fat, need that. Every drop essential help, need fat now. Save vets.
Here's the central United States. Tuesday, western New Mexico could expect to be moving into New England. As it does, we can expect eastern Minnesota across Iowa all the way to northern Louisiana. Now, watch for Arkansas as far north as western Nebraska Wednesday and again on Thursday. We can also see the Texas Pecos region along the western face of the Rockies. By Thursday afternoon, most of the central United States will be in Texas. And Wednesday and Thursday, western Nebraska will be around those Great Lakes.
Across the nation, that's adventure.
Thank you, Fernandinande Lemur, for the forecast, the space-time forecast, and the silent forehead. And thanks to Artemia Salina and Reverend Maynard Brainerd for various sound accumulations also used in this show. Meanwhile, those exist transmissions, or whatever they are, mind control carrier waves, I don't know. You'd have to see Frater S-O-D-B-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-I-E-
In Kyrgyzstan, a cockerel was heard to crow the words Allah, or what people thought sounded like Allah. And not only that, somebody actually recorded it on a mobile phone.
Right, so we've actually got that recording, so let's just hear the cockerel crowing now. Now, I'm not sure, Fidesz, did that sound like Allah to you?
Yes, I think it did.
Laughing yoga, laughing exercise for the heart and mind. What you can do, just laugh. Very easy. Don't feel shy. And I am happy, I am relaxed. I am happy, I am relaxed. I am happy, I am relaxed. Boo, 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 boo. You can laugh without sound. Your lungs, heart, kidney, colon, spleen, pancreas start dancing. How?
The shakedown started a long time ago. But who'll go into the dome and who'll stay out is being decided today. When the cultural gestalto asks you for your papers, buddy, will you resist? You sure don't want to get caught resisting. They've got this new drug called Camp X-Ray that they give you that makes you think you've been held in prison for months without ever being charged. And they have an even worse drug called False Slack that makes you think you've been sitting in your house watching imaginary people's fake lives on TV for years and years instead of living a real life of your own. You can only see the retardation for what it is after you've removed yourself from it for a while. The less TV you watch, the more obvious it is the brainwashing when you do watch it. The conspiracy knows you know this, so they pretend that they aren't even pretending that it's not abysmally stupid. They crank out programming that is deliberately so dumb that you find yourself thinking, I can't believe how stupid this is. People watch this? This is so fantastically stupid that I think I could sit here forever, transfixed, marveling at how stupid people must be to watch this. Those incredibly dumb shows are their way of openly, brazenly gloating at what cows we are. Break free of the Matrix, screams every cable TV sci-fi thriller after these messages. Gil Scott Heron said, the revolution will not be televised. Well, he was wrong. Not only was the revolution televised, but Nike sponsored it. Television, unfortunately, was not revolutionized, so the whole thing ended up as just another show. Friends, we sub-geniuses are proud to be called kooks by the rest of the media if that keeps us out of the same boat as them. But these kids these days with their cheap, degaw-encrusted broomsticks, all these youth rads and gimme bobs of whine and yowl about how their new conspiracy has worse jackboots than the old one did. But the only thing that's really changed are the haircuts. Oh, the governments change eventually, but each time you just get more government and more haircuts. Serious protesters and some drunks, they gripe that the Subgenius Foundation Incorporated didn't do enough of the right thing about the war. Well, we tried. We visualized world peace, but all we got was a lousy t-shirt slogan. If you believe in conspiracy theorists, friend, the smartest thing any of us could do right now would be to study survivalist manuals, flee this mass media hallucination, buy cheap land in the Yukon, and hide in a dome with a stockpile of canned food, a Dobbs head, and a frop pipe, and practice your aim. Otherwise, learn to give the best oral sex in town from inside a barrel. But we don't trust the conspiracy theorists any more than we trust the conspiracy. Most of them are conspiracy theorists anyway. We trust only subgenius revealed truth. And that says that the entire conspiracy, us included, is but a parasitic fungus on the skin of the overmind. That the human race is itself a virus, an infestation like fleas, and that the host will soon be dipped. Any political argument is thus rendered tragically moot. Knowing this, friends, the subgenius adheres only to patriopsychotic and narco-materialism, which is, by definition, each person defines differently.
Oh, hi 1920s, British visitors were already struck by oil's pervasiveness in American culture. Two of them, E.H. Davenport and S.R. Cook, set down this 1923 comparison. Travel but a little in the country and you will gain the impression that the modernism of the United States flowed from its oil wells. Outwardly, oil occupies there the place which coal occupies in Great Britain.
Phineas Narcos, National Cynical Radio, on nationalcynical.com, carries that thing called the Blurble Mix, but not the following, which Reverend Maynard Brainerd carries across to a number of succeeding lemur discoveries.
With the breast in his hand, he slowly shuffled away into the darkness, and soon was lost from sight. I'll never forget the strong affection I had for the breast.
And the mummy?
No, no reason to go there.
Oh, that?
Yes.
I don't understand it.
Exactly. Let's forget the whole thing for now, all right?
Participating subjects adversely affected by accessory organs.
Now, accessory organs that give you scientific throat and not nose, the medical specialist stated.
It is my opinion that accessory organs were throat and not nose.
Keep listening.
Why am I going to love greasy water?
Because greasy water is easier and faster and pleasanter.
But I hate greasy water.
Then I repeat, greasy water is amazingly fresh and pleasant.
But I really love greasy water, too.
Then I repeat, greasy water is one pleasanter, two easier, three billowy.
In patriopsychotic anarcho-materialism, state sovereignty isn't nearly enough. That would be a good start. The Soviet Union broke up? Good. Then by gobs, it's time for the USA to break up into the disunited states, and then to break up a lot more. Household sovereignty is what we're talking about. Friend, if you study chimpanzees or kindergarten children for a week, politics will suddenly make sense. You must let petty primate politics bring you down to their level. Rise above it. Inflate. Blow yourself up and float placidly high above the middle of the road, from whence you can survey how silly they all look. The system, friends, is a self-perpetuating idiocracy that utilizes the foolproof, time-worn good cop, bad cop technique to convince you that one side of the conspiracy is your buddy. The big con gives you your own little con enemy to hate and your own little con friend to join. It's set up so that we'd appear to have only the two basic options, both of them slackless, and neither of them there for any reason but to control us. In theory, the U.S. alone should offer almost 300 million political options, but needless to say, they eliminated all of those in order to hide the only possible correct option, which is, of course, the word of Bob. The terms liberal and conservative are both practically meaningless. Like Bible passages, they can mean so many different things that they cancel themselves out in internal contradictions. Each side uses the other, however, as an excuse to remove different kinds of slack. One robs this kind of slack, the other robs that kind of slack. Whichever steals the most from you forces you to side with the one that steals less. And then they have you exactly where they want you, on one of their sides, believing one half of the conspiracy. But we want Big Brother out of both the boardroom and the bedroom.
It was very much like stepping into a Salvador Dali painting. Okay? Instantly everything was surreal. Where it puts his brain, where it puts his memory, where it puts his mind, his thinking ability, everything else.
Why didn't she call? She gave up after she got her $130 phone bill or whatever the hell it was.
I agree with everything the last gentleman said. That's the problem with, you know, America now, is the media makes blanket statements. The only thing they have to rely on is that Bush lied. Well, if he had lied, that's fine. But now we're in there for the long run.
Well, what should we do to him?
The long haul.
Well, what should we do to him for lying?
Well, I don't believe it was lying. I believe
you don't.
False intelligence.
Well, wait a minute. How can it be false intelligence if he was told in October of 2002 that there were no weapons of mass destruction? He's told that by Iraqi's foreign minister. Now, how is that faulty intelligence?
You can't trust the Iraqis as far as this. You can't trust...
He was working for us, sir.
Wow.
He was told... Excuse me. What about the fact that Tony Blair's equivalent of the CIA said in July of 2002 that Bush had already decided to go to war? What about that?
Well, I stand behind him 100%.
Well, you didn't say that. You said he wasn't lying. You said it was faulty intelligence.
Wow.
I just told you that the intelligence communities told him there were no weapons of mass destruction.
Well, were there still a threat?
What was their threat? To whom?
To us, as Americans.
Oh, good. Show me what the threat was. They have no weapons of mass destruction. What threat did they represent?
Saddam Hussein.
What was the threat? What could he do to us?
He could do a whole lot.
Like what?
Like send another airplane over here. Who knows?
Excuse me, you mean Saddam Hussein was responsible for September 11th?
No, I didn't say that.
You said he could send another plane over here. Who sent the first plane?
Well, Osama bin Laden did.
Oh, did Hussein have anything to do with that?
But I wouldn't.
Oh, so what threat did he represent then, sir? What could he do to us?
He could do a number of things.
Like what? Give me an example.
Well, he could send someone over here to blow us up.
He could. What was he going to send him in? With what? And who was he going to send?
He could send anyone.
Really? And what? And it doesn't matter that the CIA said.
Point of view, they
won't. Oh, so we went to war because he might be able to send someone over here?
Well, he could send someone over here to blow us up.
That's why we went to war, sir.
I stand behind 100%.
What do you stand behind? You haven't given me a reason for war yet, sir. The president said we had to go to war because there was a clear and present danger. What was the clear and present danger?
That
How could he harm us if he couldn't harm people in his own country? Okay, thank you, sir. God, it's so nice to hear intelligent conversation on talk radio.
Token. Subway tokens of the mind.
Okay, so here
Thus
is a
of the psyche.
Another question for yes. Dr. Howe yes. or Reverend Stang.
Yeah.
If he sees fit.
Well, what would it be?
It says, I know the answer is 42, but what is the question that the answer of 42 is actually the question of?
That's really easy.
Yeah, you want to take that one?
I'll take it. Can I have a shot at it?
Sure.
The answer, the question is, what is 2 times 21?
Well, that's one of the many questions. Yeah.
That's the first one that came
that's
to my
that's
mind.
The
42.
That's the easy one.
But 42 is the answer to the ultimate question. That's why this...
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, the you know question. You know, life, the universe, and everything. You know.
There. So.
I think it's just the first number that pops into people's heads when somebody wants to know a number. And statistically, if you took a sample of a large enough population, you would find that the number that comes up most frequently in out of 100 when people think of a random number is the number 42. Now, the people that skew that number are the ones that believe 37 is that number. They're the ones who bring the skewness way out to the edges rather than allowing us to freely luxuriate in the curtosis of the normal
curve. Or perhaps you are
curve.
Only saving the appearances in the best traditions of medieval scholasticism.
Oh, I have a Douglas Adams and Subgenius trivia contribution.
Excellent.
Douglas Adams was signing Hitchhiker's Guide books in Dallas, Texas in the 80s. At a bookstore, and I went to the bookstore and stood in line, and when I got there, I said, I don't really have anything for you to sign, but I wanted to give you this book, because I thought you might enjoy it, you know, it's just whatever. So he took Book of the Subgenius and was very polite and said, thank you, and a few years later, one of his books has had a chapter that took place on Planet Bob. That's
so you think he finally read it, finally after all those
years he read
it?
That's the only possible way that Douglas Adams could have wanted to name something the name Bob.
Coincidence?
It's such an unusual name, so unlikely to just come into somebody's head that I can't imagine it would be coincidence.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's totally amazing.
Yeah. Isn't that big?
Kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Clean. Fresh. Boy. A fresh, new, moist way to smoke. A fresh, new kind of moist cigarette. The smoothest thing that's happened to smoking. With just enough smooth smoke, but not enough to blur the moist taste. The reassurance of super moist smoke. There's no better smoke. Discover the smooth satisfaction of this new kind of cigarette. Fresh, moist. New way to smoke.
That glass, right through him.
Yeah, it's a rough way to go, and...
Yeah. At least narcotics didn't kill him.
Didn't it?
The story you have just heard was changed to protect...
Bob!
Bad Bob?
Ladies and gentlemen, you probably read in the papers last week that Bob tore a muscle in his right leg.
Gee, Bob, I hate to see you in such misery. Does it hurt much?
Yes.
Why? Oh, was it really that bad, Bob?
Yeah.
Bob.
Didn't it?
Recently, we heard of another interesting use of neoprene. A California couple used a block of neoprene, and the couple rubbed back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, because this unique use of neoprene is another example of better things for better... This neoprene is neoprene. Because in the neoprene, there are chemicals, and the couple rubbed back and forth through chemistry.
Well, the fundamental part of the American way is our neoprene rubbers. That's a simple historical fact.
F. Lemur. Fernandinandi Lemur did that. A bunch of that. Reverend Maynard Brainerd, however, smoked the moist cigarette. And we heard Dr. Howell and Dr. Philo Drummond, yours truly and Puzzling Evidence, on the KPFA sub-show there. And before that, the wonderful cut-up of talk radio idiocy is called Blow Us Up, and that's from Phineas Narco, Reverend Phineas Narco of nationalcynical.com. More on Tomorrow, coming up soon in more ways than one, is by Norrell Preff.
This is PR. From PR News in Washington, I'm closed. The United Nations Committee has recommended that the United Nations be tortured by Chicago police during interrogation. Taking a look at figures from Wall Street, 1-4-5-2-1-5-5-6-6-6. This is PR's Bad PR.
PR News.
PR News.
The Vatican wants public Mexican sexual abuse and prayer and penance. The Vatican wants PR News in Washington.
PR comes from PR stations.
No clue of that they would wind up in this.
When you see the guy who does the torturing, you see this? What we're going to do with this is we're going to start, you know, peeling your skin off. He just does it. Which is real?
Just do it. Get you into it. You go right to the action.
Why?
Drilling on live teeth. Yeah, improvise on the fly. You know, what will work? What can we do next? Use your imagination.
Holy cow. Holy cow.
We're all at the same level when it comes to extracting information. There's something going to happen. We just don't know where, what, when, and how. At a low level...
Torturing people for days and days and days and days and months and months and months.
Made them wish they were dead.
For 30 years I tortured people. For 30 years I tortured people. More on Tomorrow. More on Tomorrow. More on Tomorrow.
Divide and conquer works. We should know. The countless smaller conspiracies, each with their own target captive audiences, stay so busy fighting amongst themselves that the good old boys at the top, with their pals in organized crime, have nothing to fear. The minorities and weirdos compete against each other, while the man laughs and the burning man burns. But all the while, Bob frops and laughs, trout fishing from his rowboat of tranquility in a placid lake. While back on Wall Street, his assets values skyrocket, powered by nothing more than his sheer unthinking slack power. You can choose to fight some specific branch of the conspiracy tooth and nail, or you can choose to avoid the entire thing by becoming a conspiracy of one. As Bob said, it's your conspiracy. You can make it as big as you want. Always remember, according to Dobbs, any politician who does not have a Subgenius membership card in its pocket is absolutely not to be trusted. Any politician who has a Subgenius membership card in its pocket is absolutely not to be trusted. Perhaps the Republicans and the Democretans are already engaged in total self-destruction even as we speak. Wouldn't that be nice? Even so, they'd only be replaced by two more equally treacherous bear traps for suckers. The Reefertarian Party, maybe, versus the Lieberform Party. Certainly not patriopsychotic anarcho-materialism. Anything but that, then there'd be no conspiracy at all. And if it weren't for the conspiracy, we would be the normals. We patriopsychotic anarcho-materialists of the evangelical free-frop and sex branch believe in divergity. Whoever kills the other guy first wins. Every yard a kingdom. Just as diversity is essential to a biosphere or a porno mag, there must always be liberal and conservative numbskulls to balance each other out. As long as the great pendulum of history keeps on swinging and isn't stuck on one side, that's a good sign. The scurrying earth fools seem to require these distractions as they scamper about performing their silly little mammalian puppet acts. But we must learn to rise above the false little conspiracies dangled like easy answers before our blinder tubes, oh, our true geese. There's only one true conspiracy, the conspiracy of the normals. As Bob said to Onan Cannabite in 1980, how many conspiracies does it take to totally oppress all subgeniuses everywhere for all of history? One. Mutants must agree to disagree. Mutant A can look the other way when El Presidente conducts secret wars and loots savings and loans, and makes deals with terrorists, etc., and Mutant B can look the other way when El Presidente sneaks out with his illicit girlfriend. But what in the name of God did all those brave soldiers die for in all those wars, friends? For the freedom of little old ladies and frustrated eunuchs to castrate everyone who happens to somehow still possess normal sexuality? The freedom for crazy fundamentalists to decide what happens behind everybody else's closed bedroom doors? The freedom for huge cartels of American drug dealers to addict children to the most insidious drugs while destroying the lives of adults who use medicines that happen not to be patentable? Did all those brave American soldiers die just so that a secret royal gang of fat, bald, white guys could make yet more money? And friends, the answers to these questions lie in further chapters of the Subgenius Cyclopedia of Slack, the Bobliographon, which is a book that is not out, but is finished and being published as we speak. We just did corrections on it from Thunder's Mouth Press. It won't be out until November. Friends, the background music was by Doctors for Bob. The original Doctors for Bob of Little Rock, Arkansas. It's Sterno Docs, Key Caver, Martin Big Smoke Pitts, Dr. Gene Splice, primarily there. And I believe also Linda in some cases. Friends, you're listening to the Subgenius Radio Ministry, Hour of Slack. If you want more information on the Church of the Subgenius, just look at www.subgenius.com. And now, friends, to the collages of Reverend Norrell Pref, of which you can get more of that at norrellpref.com, and the great Mr. Fernandinandi Lemur. Praise Bob.
This story will keep us. Me and my partner got together all our things. We sold them for all the stuff that we could get. Then bought stuff for a while in the cities. Then one morning, Evan made a weapon switch. And I killed the rest of us.
Now back to our story of Tarzan. And our pipe will make this land fertile.
Perhaps I can help until help comes.
Well, I might, sir. I'm the original hot kid.
You are the devil.
All right.
It's a good idea. I like the way you operate.
It's so relaxing. Or it is relaxing.
The,
Oh, no, that could never be relaxed in that state.
The state is Dobbstown, friend. It's it's the stuff that dreams are made of. It's what makes Tinkerbell and the Lost Boys fly.
Place.
It powers the Starship Enterprise.
Look at...
It's the hidden code in Windows and Mac OS.
The children are all smiling through the windows. Look, they're waving to us.
It's the cancer-causing, teeth-staining, smelly, pukey habit. It's the drug that helps you find God, be he Harry Thunderer.
And they look like they're all enjoying those drugs. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Well,
it is your brain on drugs. It is 99.44% pure. It is where there is a lake, in which resides the sword Excalibur, kept by the Lady of the Lake. It is where all the flowers have gone. It is the home of John Dillinger's real male appendage. It is a mystery wrapped in an enigma, smothered with sautéed mushrooms and onions in a savory, delicious gravy. It is home to both Lemurians and Cenobites. It is very near the coast of Hanalei. Nearly also to the land of Fredonia. It is the world's largest producer of mana. Ambrosia, frop, and the green stuff you inject into the brain to reanimate dead tissue. Yes, Dobbstown is the residence of J.R. Bob Dobbs part of the year. It is both creamy and crunchy. It tastes great and is less filling. It is margarine and it is butter. Do you realize that, friends? They have promised us that which is like this or also that, but no, it is margarine and it is butter.
A manic prana form of
if it were to fall into enemy hands, it would mean the destruction of us all. Thank God Bob is in charge, because at Dobbstown, its golf course is Fiddler's Green. It's where UFOs are not just a fact of life, they're the law, gosh darn it. It's beyond the ken of mortal man. It can take a sunrise, sprinkle it with dew, cover it in chocolate, and a miracle or two. It's where bad little girls and boys go. It's where something is happening all the time, most of it unsolved. It is where one may find the Dark Tower, wherein lies the emerald of ultimate knowledge, the sword of ultimate power, and the credit card with no limit, guarded by the Black Knight and his hideous troll army. After passing through the forest of darkness and the desert of despair and retrieving the medallion that hangs about the neck of the dragon's narg. Yes, friend, it is the misfolding of uncalculations. It's the unfolding of miscalculations. It is a place where science and magic aren't the same thing at all. Oh, no, friends, it was never a colony of France. No, Dobbstown means having all the pets you ever wanted. Imagine that, Baz. All the pets you ever wanted. Thousands and thousands of cats and dogs and puppies and
a million
bunnies and newts. Yes, your own. You can have a newt farm and Dobbs will give it to you. It's where a thing of beauty is a joy for a while. It's a dissonant fifth vortex disrupting the harmonic convergence. It was described by Darwin, who destroyed his notes, convinced he was suffering from DTs. Its government never tries to be helpful. No, in Dobbstown, it is the dawning of the height, weight, hair, and eye color of Aquarius. It is not so little blah blah spelled backwards. It is Brigadoon without the haggis. It is surrounded by the seven cities of Cibola, which are its slums, and it has a ferry to Monster Island. Your own personal ferry to Monster Island, I believe. It's where Amelia Earhart crashed. You can find her in Dobbstown. She actually runs a little cafe there. It's very nice. It's where the Tunguska meteorite came out after bouncing around inside for a while, somewhat the worse for wear. It's where the early worms... I'm almost done with this now. It's where the early worms gets away. Yes. Yes, Dobbstown reaches from the inner ear to the outer limits. It doesn't make the bondage gear. It makes the bondage gear better. It is for when you are too lazy to kill yourself. It is where there are no lawyers. Imagine that, friends. Yes, in Dobbstown there are no lawyers. Yes, Dobbstown is where you can make your imaginary friends... fight to the death or live forever. It is between the dark and the daylight when the night is beginning to lower. It is where neither heredity nor environment matter. It is where the lamb and the lion don't just lie down together. They have sex. It is proof that hell is full and the dead walk the earth. This is by Reverend New Monet, and this is in the new upcoming book of the subgenius that is coming out, friends, the The Cyclopedia of Slack. Remember that word, friends. P-S-Y-C-H-L-O-P-A-D-I-A. Yes, Cyclopedia of Slack. The Bobliographer. No, the Boblio...
Yes.
I can never say it.
Yes.
I've got to get used to that word because it's a new kind of book, friends.
It's a new word with new meanings.
Actually, friends, it's made in a smaller format than the previous Subgenius Holy Books.
With a larger
brain. It's the 7x9 inch format, more like your family Bible. It's about the thickness and hardness and girth and length. And Speaking of which, Cynthia Plastercaster has a nice website up with pictures of the Hendrix cast and various other guitar players.
Their harnesses?
Yeah, they all look pathetic next to Hendrix.
Hide my daughter's ears there, please.
Hendrix, that was the guy...
CynthiaPcaster.com. It's really quite interesting rock and roll history.
Wow. Well, some of them had actually polyhedrons, or tetragrammatons, or...
Yes, well
they're fun day sandwiches.
They're advanced ones, but they didn't let those out.
Reverend Bleepo Abernathy was heard there with the Lonesome Cowboy Dave, who is also heard in the background music on these credits, by the way. Guesting and gusting with Princess Wee and myself on a live hour of Slack... recorded recently at the beautiful WCSB studios at Cleveland State. A reading from the new book, a section by Reverend New Monet. And you are listening to Lonesome Cowboy Dave playing in the background of The Hour of Slack, episode number 1053. And now, Lemur and Frater S-O-D-D-I will take you out.
We'll see how boring I am.
No? Try me and find out.
Hello, operator. I'd like you to put me through to the United States counter spies.
Agent Braden to Harding, San Francisco field office. Braden to Harding.
Counter spy field office.
Hello. Hello. Yes?
Peters, I'm fine, Mr. Harding.
Oh, good. Hello. Hello, Peters.
How are you, Mr. Harding?
Go ahead, Peters.
How?
All right. Goodbye. Well, Chief?
Yes.
Yes, Chief.
Tune in every week to Counter Spy on Counter Spy.
Okay, Chief. I'll be standing by at the St. Louis Airport.
No further instructions, Braden.
Got to control your cat?
Is she sleeping?
Yes.
Easy. Hey, want to see the sunrise? Just once more.
Dad. Dad. What's on that piece of paper?
I don't know.
Excuse me.
Oh, no.
No.
Thank you.
No.
No.
Is there more?
No.
Thank you.
All right.
Good night.
Hey,